Here's how to get rid of your ums, your uhs, your ahs whenever you speak to be more confident. My name is Preston Chin, and this is the Preston Chin Podcast, where each week we go in depth on key communication tips to help you be seen as a leader at work. Now, before we get into how you actually reduce those filler words, you have to remember that it's okay to say some filler words. And first, have solace in that, because this is what makes us human and relatable when we speak. But the key is to not have so many filler words that it becomes distracting for our audience. If you find that you start sentences by saying, well, you know, that's a problem. If you find that you can't finish a sentence without getting an or an in there, that's a problem. And so when we address that, notice how much more clear you come off. Here are a few of my favorite tips to make improvements in this area. The first is to get rid of using conjunctions. Get rid of those conjunctions. There are seven of them: and, or, nor, for, yet, but, so. And, or, nor, for, yet, but, so. Our tendency is to say run-on sentences. Run-on sentences give us more room to mess up. When we tighten our sentences, we give ourselves room to pause. And when we get rid of conjunctions, we naturally get rid of those run-on sentences. If you wanted to start a sentence with an and or a but, that's okay. But I want you to get rid of those conjunctions, because the second thing that you're going to do is you are going to say the period. What do I mean by that? I specifically mean to pause in between your sentences. You should literally know where the line is drawn from the previous sentence to the next one. And when you do this, you'll be surprised at how much more in control and command you feel. The third tip when it comes to reducing your fillers is actually something that's more internal. And it's to be assured in your why. Every communication that we have at work is meant to be a gift for our audience. And our gifts can vary. Our strengths tend to stay the same. When we know exactly what value we're bringing, we exude that confidence. And if you notice, when you're passionate about something, if you are absolutely a rock star when it comes to memorizing certain information about the stock market or reciting certain key lyrics from a song, are you stuttering when you're saying it? No, because you know it inside and out. You have confidence that you're going to be able to say it the exact right way. So how do you get that confidence whenever you're speaking, particularly in moments where you may be put on the spot or you may not be a subject matter expert? Well, that's okay. One of my favorite things to do whenever this happens is to say what I do know in one sentence. Say what I do know in one sentence, because when I have a really strong start, it creates the tone that I need for the rest of my communication. It gives me confidence that I can speak in an authoritative manner. Let me give you a concrete example. The other day, I was asked a question that I didn't have a lot of information about, which is, can you describe how your product best supports the 5 steps of design thinking? Admittedly, I had to look up the 5 steps of design thinking before I could answer that question. But as I was looking it up, I started off by saying, yeah, our product is crucial to design thinking and supporting that workflow. And there is one overarching reason as to why that's the case. Now, I didn't even share what it was, but I bought myself time by saying that there's one thing that epitomizes how we fit with design thinking. And so what happened? As I was speaking, I was trying to come up with that core idea that would embody all the other features I could talk about when it comes to our product. And so what I went back to was what our company stands for, which is to help teams see and build the future. And I emphasized teams. We are the best product to help teams collaborate. That's a very strong sentence. And then everything else resonates off that, right? So even if I wasn't necessarily a subject matter expert in the topic of design thinking, I went back to what I did know, which is what is our core product strength. And I kept my sentence concise, high level, around that core strength. So if you don't know exactly what it is that you want to say and you start to say filler words, just pause before you start. And then provide that bottom line up front, that core crisp sentence that gets at what you do know that's relevant to their question. So that's the third point. The fourth way that you can start reducing your fillers is to practice intentionally. Because just like in athletics, you can't be a great shooter unless you get up your shots. How do we practice? One of my favorite ways to practice is something that I call the narration game. Here's how it works. You essentially describe everything that you're seeing, no filter, with one goal, and that is to not say a filler word. Overstretch yourself. And here's how you do that. I'll demonstrate for the next 20 seconds. This is a black pen with a silver cap. I use this pen a lot to write down my notes before I begin a video. I am recording in front of my smartphone camera, which I've had for the past 3 years. Let's pause. Just talking. It doesn't really matter what I'm saying, but what am I doing? I am intentional about not saying the or the ah. And if I do, that's okay. It's just practice. No one's going to have a counter and point, oh, you said the word 10 times. No one cares. But if you feel it's getting in the way of you getting out your message, the best way to practice is by eliminating the filter in your head. Get used to speaking articulately. And the best way to do that is to improve the speed from your brain retrieving the words to your mouth releasing them. So when we can speed up the word retrieval process, we have a tendency to not say as many fillers. So I hope that helps. The narration game is a great way to improve your word retrieval process so that you're not struggling to find the right word. Narrate what you see and try to not say a filler word. Another helpful technique that I've found when it comes to not saying filler words is, and I said this in the beginning, but it is to pause for at least 3 seconds before you speak. Our anxiety can get in the way. But if you get in the habit of pausing before you start, you will see a dramatic improvement, particularly in that first sentence when you speak. Too often, I see my students struggle where they want to jump into the answer because they're pretty sure it's the right thing to say. Or they just jump in because that's the second nature and they ramble their way to an answer. But the problem with that approach is that you can't go very far. You will trip up. If you can intentionally practice pausing, even when answering questions that you know the answer to, you will see an improvement in your filler word usage. The next tip that I have to reducing your filler words is to tell a story. But when you tell a story, I want you to reenact a scene. What do I mean by that? Well, we have immersive brains. The moment we transport ourselves to a moment in time and recap what's going on, it's as though all we're doing is just describing what we remember. We do not worry about saying the filler. So the more often you can tell stories that are immersive, the better. And one of my favorite ways of doing that is to articulate an exchange between two people, or to articulate a monologue, a thought process that you might have had around a key moment. When you tell a story, this is a bit of a side note, but I think it's relevant here. I like to tell short stories that either highlight one of three areas. They either focus you on a key action that took place, a defining action. They can be oriented around a key emotion, a defining emotion. Or they can be oriented around a key learning, a defining learning. And when you wrap your stories around a defining action, emotion, learning, and you incorporate a dialogue or a monologue in it, it becomes very immersive. So as an example, let's say someone were to ask me, how did you get started teaching people communication skills? The moment I would go back to is feeling sick that I couldn't present material that I had worked on for months as a marketing consultant, and realizing that communication skills were what prevented me from getting to the next level. And I never wanted anyone to feel that pain again that I faced, so that's why I decided I would teach. That was oriented around a key learning. And I could even go further into the monologue piece, which is to say, when that happened, I remember telling myself, Preston, the moment you can confidently say to yourself that your message stuck is the moment when you can start to teach someone else. And that's the moment when I knew I could teach, was when I hit that moment in 2018. That is effective communication. Notice I didn't say a filler word because I was reliving a moment in my head when I was that marketing consultant and I was struggling with my presentation. I relived the moment when I told myself those exact words that I would not teach anyone until I had mastered the skill myself. So I hope that these tips are helpful as you think about ways to reduce your filler word usage. Just remember that saying filler words here or there is not only perfectly normal, it's sometimes a good thing because it shows that you're relatable. But if it gets in the way, just remember, you do not have to speak a million miles a minute. You can pause. You can break things up. You can even chunk your sentences. Notice how when I say a complete sentence, I am not, for example, saying it all in one breath. Notice how I'm taking short breaths in the middle of my sentence because sometimes it takes me a minute to gather my thoughts. But that's normal. That's okay. It's a lot better to insert a pause than to say a filler. I hope that helps. Thanks so much for watching, for listening. Please like and subscribe, and I hope you have a wonderful day.